the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Hello everybody, I am one of three, so have fun. So tonight our theme is God is good. And God is good, I'm specifically talking about God is good because he delivers. The passage we're basing this quick talk on is Hebrews 11. For those who aren't really familiar of it, Hebrews 11 is basically all about faith and all about people of faith. And I'm talking kind of from verse 8, I think. It's just a list of what God has done and people who've been faithful to God and what's happened. So I'm not going to lie, initially when I first read it, I was a little bit confused. This is not a passage about deliverance. It's a passage about faith and having faith in God. However, as many of you may realise, with some quick thought, it led me to see how very much this passage was about deliverance, because what did these people have their faith in? Noah is told that there will be a huge flood killing lots of humanity, and where does he put his faith? Pharaoh starts killing the baby Jews. Where does Moses' mother put her faith? Sarah was past the age of being able to have children. Where did she put her faith? In God. This passage is built upon stories of God saving people from themselves, from empires, from other people. And all the way back to the beginning of time. What does this tell us about God? What does this tell us about the God we serve? He is a God of deliverance, a God of deliverance just as much as he is a God of love and a God of goodness. If you don't know where to look for God's deliverance, look in other people. Look at these passages. Look at other people. Sorry, I didn't write this in very good font. I can't really read it, but it's fine. It's all good. Examples, Moses being saved as a baby from being slaughtered, the Israelites saved by crossing the Red Sea, Gideon and David and Daniel and Esther, all these people who God has delivered and God has saved and that we can remember and look to to see God's deliverance. Now, I believe remembering God's faithfulness in delivering his people does two things to us. I'm sure it does many, but it's all I could think of initially, but number one, it tells us more about God and his heart for people. We learn more about our King and ultimately deepen our intimacy and our relationship with him. And second thing, it really, really helps when we ourselves are waiting for deliverance. Because if God can save an entire nation, he can give me peace about family or friends situations. If he can do this, he can do that. He can, and it gives us hope when we may not have any other source of it. After realizing how easy it was for me to look over a passage like this, where deliverance and goodness are very much a part of the words written, and I didn't see it initially, it led me to think how often we don't see the deliverance God has or is providing for us. I know I don't. I probably only remember like half of it. God is active in our day-to-day, and that includes delivering us, and is actually delivering us from daily struggles and situation. Deliverance is the act of being saved. Now, there is the big one, there is Jesus, but there is also the small stuff. God gives you peace when anxious about a social situation. God delivers you from feelings of loneliness and exhaustion. God delivering us from getting angry or frustrated at people. God in every single day. So I invite you later on in reflection to think, what in the past week or month has God been delivering you from? What will you be able to see once you start thinking about it? And if you can't think of anything, look at other people, because you can see God in there and you'll start to be able to see God in your own life. So what deliverance will you be able to see when you really think about it?
Thank you. Lovely. Do you know what's really good about God, right? Is that three people can write independent preachers and they all seamlessly working together. It's very nice. I'm going to quickly read from the Bible. If you've got one, we're going to be in page 992, Luke chapter 17, from verse 11. Jesus heals 10 men with leprosy. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." I don't know about you, but there are a lot of people in my life that I am very grateful for because they do nice things for me. Obviously, they add things to me, but they do nice things for me. Mum and Dad, the bank of Mum and Dad has a very competitive interest rate. I'm very grateful for that. They did lots to get me to where I am. I'm fortunate enough to be married, and this means that my laundry magically appears folded and that I get told when it's time to have a haircut and a shave. The answer is soon. But also, like, doing my job, genuinely, one of the craziest things in doing my job is how I get paid to do it and lots of people don't. And I'm really appreciative of all the volunteers who put a lot of time and a lot of love and a lot of investment into young people and bringing them closer to Jesus. These sort of big acts can sometimes leave us feeling a bit speechless, can sometimes leave us feeling a bit hamstrung at, like, the generosity and the kindness that's been shown to us. I remember I did some mission once in Chudley, and we were paying people's car parking fees. And for 30p, there was one man, and he refused to accept 30p's worth of grace. He was just, like, so adamantly confused at someone being nice in that way. Our story is one where, if I'm honest, we run the risk of going, "Yep, Jesus and the 10 lepers, got that one, comes back, says sorry, heard that, move on." But I think there's some really significant things going on here. Two really significant things. See, Jesus is showing grace here. He sees the men, he loves them immediately. Doesn't get to know them, he sees them and he loves them. He tells them, go and do what the law tells you to do. Go to the temple, cleanse yourself. Tell the priest that you're cleansed. And then the priest would, like, sacrifice things and be happy about it. But on the way, they're cured miraculously. Now, the first significant thing is that the guy who comes back, who says thank you, is a Samaritan. And he's got no business coming back to say thank you. He's not really got any business going to the temple in the first place. He's a foreigner. He doesn't know God. He's not valued by God in sort of the way that the Jewish people would understand it. But there he is coming back and throwing himself at Jesus' feet. The second significant thing is that he actually obeyed the law in doing that. He came, he showed himself to the high priest, Jesus, and he worshipped God. And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well. Go." I think grace, as I say, we can have these two responses where we can either become really blasé and comfortable with grace and we forget the significance. And Jesus here, like, I think this story shows us that actually we're all outsiders to God. None of us are in the club. God's grace brought us in. God's love brought us in. And that's enormous. Secondly, saying thank you is great. Acknowledging it is great. And it's simple. It's an act of saying, "Thank you, God." Because what God does is he doesn't go, "Yeah, keep going. I'm rubbish at saying thank you to people. I get my words wrong. I don't buy the right present. God just says, "Okay, you've said thank you. Now let's go. Let's do." With God, grace comes in this two-part. He does something, and then he says, "Yeah, let's find out what's next. Let's keep going forward." Yeah, Jacob, over to you.
The chorus of the first song that we sang tonight says, "Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done." Now, the people we've just looked at, Noah, he lived in a time when God felt ever so close on earth. God would speak to people. He spoke to Adam and Eve. He appeared to Adam and Eve. He spoke to Noah through the burning bush. And then we move on to the lepers, and Jesus was there. Jesus was present with them. And these days, when you look at our world, it almost seems like maybe God isn't quite so present and isn't around with us anymore. But that's no further from the truth, because Jesus didn't just leave. He left and left part of himself with us, his spirit, to do the work for him and in us. In John chapter 16, it says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." God left a part of himself here with us, and that part of himself goes forward into our daily lives ahead of us and speaks to us so that we can do his work. This summer, I spent it in upstate New York in America. I was working on a summer camp. It was Salvation Army. It wasn't a Belmont summer camp, unfortunately. So it was a few strange things to me there. But one thing that just spoke to me throughout the whole of that experience was the fact that everyone that was with me, everyone that was working alongside me, we all were connected in this one family with Jesus. And that's because we each had the Spirit. No matter where we'd come from, whether we'd come from Poland, whether we came from America, from Ireland, Scotland, England, all of us had this one thing in common, and that's that the Spirit was living in us. And before we'd even signed up to the camp, the Spirit had gone ahead of us. The Holy Spirit went ahead of all of us and arranged our plans for the summer for us and set out what our work was to do. And I just find it totally amazing that that is something that God can do in each of our lives every day. Doesn't just have to be the big things. All the truth, Jesus said, will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. Because it's not our voice that tells us what to do all the time. It's God, and he brings us all the truth on every part of our life through his Spirit.